A Light Shining in the Darkness was presented by Jack Crabtree on December 22, 2013 at Reformation Fellowship. The copyright for this recording is held by Gutenberg College, Inc., 2013. Gutenberg College is a nonprofit organization, and contributions may be made at www.gutenberg.edu. This material may be copied and distributed in whole for non-commercial and educational purposes, subject to the inclusion of this introduction. All other rights reserved.
Shortly after Jesus' birth, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared before some shepherds who were watching their flocks in the fields near Bethlehem. An angel of the Lord, more helpfully translated an angelos of Yahweh, is a visible manifestation of God himself. The burning bush on Mount Sinai was an angelos of Yahweh. So was the pillar of fire that led Israel through the wilderness. Presumably, the man who ate dinner with Abraham in his tent was an angelos of Yahweh. Throughout the history of Israel, the angelos of Yahweh appeared in many different forms. It was presumably in the form of a man that Yahweh appeared to these shepherds on that very remarkable night to announce the birth of their king. But he did not appear as just any old man. In keeping with the magnificence of who he was, a bright physical light emanated from him all around. It was so brilliant and intense that it illuminated the whole area. His bright, shining appearance terrified them. This was a truly glorious being before them. It must have been a remarkable event to witness. Imagine sitting in the field that night, gazing at the stars through the total darkness of their pre-Edison sky, when suddenly, out of nowhere, there appears a dazzling light, perhaps as bright as the sun itself. What a sight that must have been. Now, in the actual historical event, the glory of God's angelos is seen against the blackness of the night sky. How much more striking was his glory, framed as it was by the night sky, than it would have been had it occurred in broad daylight. The angelos of Yahweh could be seen in all his resplendent glory, precisely because it was seen against the backdrop of total darkness. That is how we must come to appreciate the meaning and significance of Jesus' birth as well. We will never understand the overwhelming joy of Jesus' birth unless we understand the sorrow of human existence that he came into the world to address. Just as the shepherds could only see the true magnificence of God's glorious appearance against the nighttime sky, so can we see the true joy of Christmas only in contrast to the darkness of human existence. But what exactly is that darkness? What is the black background that enhances our understanding of the joy that Christmas brings? Death. Death is the absurd fact that provides the background necessary for understanding Christmas. Only by understanding the tragedy, the inescapability, and the irreversibility of death can we come to understand the joyous import of Jesus coming into existence. The inescapability of death is indisputable, and yet it is notoriously ignored. Everybody dies. It is almost too trite to say so. There couldn't be a more certain fact about human existence, and yet most of us avoid thinking about it in the way we live our lives. But we ignore the inevitability of death to our peril. We must face it squarely. Not only is death inevitable, it is also irreversible. No one returns from death. When I die, I am gone. That's what it means to die. To die is to cease to be a part of this reality. And no one who has ceased to be can pick up and return to being. Nothing proves how deeply the irreversibility of death is ingrained in our knowledge and experience than the gospel accounts. Jesus instructed his disciples clearly, explicitly, and in detail what his future held for him. He would go to Jerusalem, get arrested, be scourged, mocked, and crucified, but then after 3 days in the grave, he would come back to life. It is a truly remarkable feature of the gospel accounts that after Jesus did go to Jerusalem, after he did in fact get arrested, scourged, mocked, and crucified, not a single disciple gave even the slightest indication that he expected Jesus to return from the grave. Why not? He had told them clearly and explicitly that that would be the next thing to occur. Everything else he had predicted had come to pass, just as he said it would. Why did they not expect the resurrection that he had also predicted? The answer, I think, is evident. No one comes back from the grave. They never have, and they never will. Any prediction to the contrary is a delusional fantasy. The crucifixion put an end to Jesus' existence. He would be no more. Is that not what we all know? Do we not all understand at the very foundation of our knowledge that death is the final irreversible end of life? We also understand that death is horrible. It is not a beautiful part of the circle of life. It is a ghastly destroyer, the great nullifier. Death strips me of everything I am, everything I worked for, and everything I wanted. It nullifies absolutely everything. Wealth, power, fame, honor, integrity, character, identity, whatever it is, death cancels it out and reduces it to nothing. Only in delusional fantasies do I believe that I can live on through my work, my progeny, or my reputation. That is why Jesus wept at Lazarus' funeral, because death is awful. It is the absurd fact that underlies all of human existence. So far as experience teaches us, we were born to die. We were born to be reduced to nothing. This is the great intractable sorrow of mankind. It is the curse that hangs over the head of every human being, and it is the blackness against which the meaning of Christmas shines. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the one in whom God demonstrated his power over death. As the author and creator of all reality, God restored the murdered Jesus to newness of life, to an existence where he would never be subject to death ever again. In the person of Jesus, God proved himself faithful to the long-standing promise he had made to Abraham, namely the promise that Abraham and his children would not be destroyed by death, the promise of everlasting life instead. Before Jesus, no one had ever been granted that blessing. He was the firstborn from the grave, who has gone on into everlasting life before us. But because God raised Jesus from the dead, we who belong to him can expect that we too, in our time, will be raised up out of our graves as well. Only when we face honestly the tragedy, irreversibility, and inevitability of death can we appreciate the significance of Jesus' existence and understand the incredible joy that Christmas brings. Jesus' resurrection declared the defeat of our enemy, death. His resurrection was the gateway to our hope of everlasting life. Easter is what makes Christmas worth getting excited about. It is death that forms the dark background against which the glory of God's gift to us in and through Jesus shines so brilliantly. When we ignore the reality of death, then Christmas becomes a secular celebration of shallow sentimentality, not a joyous celebration of God's victory over mankind's greatest enemy. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of the man of whom John wrote, "God loved the world in just this way. He sent us his utterly unique Son to the end that whoever believes in the Son will never be defeated by the curse of death, but rather will be granted everlasting life." So Christmas is not for kids. The true joy of Christmas can only be understood by the wisdom that comes with maturity. When we are young, we are typically inexperienced with death. It seems a distant abstraction, nothing to worry about. In childish folly, we occupy ourselves with the passing concerns of this world with no regard for the reality of death. Wisdom begins when we face squarely into death's inevitability, and only then can we understand the inexpressible joy of Jesus' birth. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus this year, may we wrap our minds fully and completely around the significance of this man and what he did on our behalf. He made it possible for my life to not be nullified by death. If I but acknowledge him, I will live on. I will enjoy life forever in the eternal kingdom of God.